You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of a collected works volume number 165 by Rudolf Steiner, 13 lectures, entitled Unifying Humanity Spiritually Through the Christ Impulse, translated by Christian von Arnim. This is lecture 11 of 13, given in Bern on the 9th of January, 1916. Fundamentally, all of spiritual science ultimately aims to understand human beings in their essence, in their tasks and endeavors, in their necessary endeavors in the course of development. The misunderstandings to which we often have to refer and which spiritual science encounters from outside are largely due to humanity at present still being little able to familiarize itself with certain basic truths, which simply have to be recognized, which simply have to be comprehended if we want to come to any kind of understanding of life and the nature of the human being. What actually is the basis? Let us begin today by touching on this question. What actually is the basis for the scientific approach whose great, important triumphs of the last four centuries should be fully recognized? Particularly fully recognized by spiritual science. It starts from what it perceives in its physical environment, what is revealed in the environment of physical existence. Now, it is, of course, self-evident that we begin by having trust in what we perceive as so-called reality in our surroundings, and that we try to explain this reality on the basis of what is contained in this reality itself. It is, of course, difficult to be clear from the beginning that this reality itself might contain appearance, that this reality itself could be deceptive. This cliff must first be surmounted by anyone who really wants to understand spiritual science. They must learn to comprehend that reality as it surrounds us can be deceptive, that it can indeed mislead us, can be interpreted in the wrong way. And many of the things we have learned in spiritual science in the course of the years has been able to convince us that the reality which directly surrounds us can be deceptive. Today, let us start from a very specific point, from a point which, however, can only be obtained from within spiritual science. That is what spiritual science is like, that we have to understand things, and then, once we have understood them, we can find what we have understood confirmed in reality. The most important things in particular must first be understood in spiritual science before we can look at them. It could easily be set out that this is a method which is also frequently applied in the external world, and specifically in the world of external science. But we will not spend time on that today. We cannot always develop everything from first principles. One such fact which is eminently suitable for deceiving us about external reality, as a result of appearance, as a result of the physiognomy of that reality itself, is about the differences, the different characteristics of people on Earth. When we look at people as they inhabit Earth, we say to ourselves, there are basically no two people who are the same in the physical field. People in the physical field are all different from one another. And then it is quite natural that we accept the differences between people on Earth as a fact. I am now talking about the difference in the physical body. And that we then proceed to find out in some way from the facts of life on Earth why people are different, why they look different. But now, spiritual scientific observation shows something quite different. It shows us that if we only take account of the observation of the shape, that the physical body on earth can adopt, through the earth forces, human beings cannot be different on earth, but they would all be the same, all have the same shape. The forces which exist on earth to give human beings their physical shape are such that all people would have to have the same outer shape if nothing but the formative forces of our earth acted on them. This happens because the physical human body has been sufficiently prepared. We know that it has been prepared through the Saturn, through the Sun and Moon periods. Everything is prepared through forces which were at work in these three periods, so that the earth forces cannot act on the body in any other way than to give it a homogeneous shape across the whole earth, precisely if we only take account of this earth. Let me put it this way. Because of what was incorporated in their physical body as forces during the Saturn, Sun, and Moon period, human beings are so armored against all differences in the earth forces that they would have to be the same across the whole earth if they were only subject to the earth forces. Spiritual science must therefore assume that a homogeneous shape is predetermined for human beings through the earth forces. If we now also look at the differences between male and female, then what has just been said also applies to this difference between male and female. Because this difference has not either been caused by what earth forces form in the human being, but by quite different forces, which we will speak about shortly. So, we can assume a certain sum of earth forces which have a formative action on human beings, and which seek only to produce absolutely the same human shape across the whole earth. So we can, of course, ask ourselves why it is that human beings are, nevertheless, so different. We know that we are not only dealing with the physical earth body of human beings, but that behind the physical earth body there is the etheric body. Now, spiritual scientific observation shows us that even if all human beings should actually be the same with regard to their physical earth body, they have to be different with regard to the etheric body. And this is so for the reason that the etheric body is not just affected by earth forces. It is a completely mistaken belief that only earth forces act on the human etheric body. Forces from out of the cosmos, the universe, act on the etheric body of human beings, which form and shape them. Therefore, we have to distinguish between the earth forces acting in a homogeneous way across the earth, which would make all human shapes the same, and the forces acting on the earth out of the universe, which make the etheric bodies of human beings different. We can follow the differences between human etheric bodies through spiritual scientific observation. There are human etheric bodies which might be described as being at their outer limit, which have strong forces, etheric bodies in which one can observe that they almost retain their form like a physical form. That is one kind of etheric body. A second kind of etheric body is one in which the etheric body is very flexible, like what I might describe as something completely in motion, fluttering, is flowing and flexible in contrast to the firm shape. These two forms of etheric body are revealed such that they can be described as being inwardly pretty uniformly shaded. Another type of etheric body is the one which is inwardly shaded in a shimmering way, which is not uniform in its color, but inwardly shaded, inwardly tinted. A fourth type of etheric body is the one which, although it has a basic color throughout its whole substance, if we can describe it like that, changes its color over the course of time, without it being possible to say that it is changed by anything other than from something within. So it is not shimmering, not shaded in different colors. But it is such that it is uniform, but changes its color over the course of time, a chameleon-like etheric body. Then there are etheric bodies which have a strong tendency to be inwardly illuminated, clarified, which at certain moments become lighter and lighter. Other etheric bodies have a very strong ability to reproduce the music of the spheres. And then we can observe etheric bodies which occur particularly in inventive, brilliant people. Such etheric bodies which already show forces within themselves which are alien to and rare on Earth. While the six preceding types of etheric body show that they are of a kind which can be found in human beings, even if they are the average person, the latter type of etheric body produces the kind of person who has strong abilities, of which we say that they are not, quote, of the earth, close quote, poets, artists, and such like. It is not because of some arbitrary assumption of the figure seven that we distinguish between seven such forms of etheric body in human beings. We simply have to count them. We find no others than the ones which I have now presented as the typical ones, and that is why there are seven types of etheric body. There is no other reason. There are really seven different types of etheric body in human beings. We have forces in the etheric bodies which are not earthly in a certain sense, which come from the cosmos. But now, the etheric body has a formative influence on the physical body, and so it happens that whereas human beings would all be the same with regard to their physical body through the earth forces, they are shaped differently through the etheric body. Indeed, the differences between male and female bodies, for example, are only effected by the astral body, are only developed through the forces which are not developed by the astral body until it passes between death and a new birth, which is the time in which human beings prepare for the gender which they must have in accordance with karma in the next incarnation. But let us stay with our consideration of the etheric body. So we can say that whereas the physical body is predisposed to be the same across the earth, if we only take account of the earthly forces, human beings would be divided into seven groups across the earth because their etheric bodies are predisposed in a different way from the cosmos, from outside the earth, because they have a different structure, a different substance throughout. That is the situation. That is what we gradually find if we attempt to investigate, through spiritual science, the reciprocal relationship of the human etheric body with its physical body. Now, this difference that occurs is connected with the characteristics, with the differences between the races on Earth. Basically, the races can always be reduced to this number seven because of these differences in the etheric body. Even if some typical forms die out, and if external science distinguishes fewer than seven basic races, there are, in reality, seven differences between the basic races in the whole of humanity. But they are actually caused by the etheric bodies, and do not have their origin in the earth forces during our development, but they have their origin in cosmic forces. If we now follow the development of the earth backward to the Atlantean and the Lemurian period, we can see that originally characteristics and impulses existed through which the physiognomy, which the human physical body has received through the power of the etheric body, that is, the differences which took shape, should not actually have happened on Earth in accordance with the original characteristics as it did. It should not have happened like that. But if everything had happened in a certain way, we will shortly see in which way, the seven-colored etheric body of the human being would have caused differences in the way the human form developed. But it would have happened consecutively in such a way that through the etheric body a certain shape of human being would have existed in the fifth Atlantean epoch, a second in the sixth Atlantean epoch, a third in the seventh Atlantean epoch, a fourth in the first post-Atlantean epoch, a fifth in the second post-Atlantean epoch, a sixth in the third post-Atlantean epoch, a seventh in the Greco-Latin period. The fourth post-Atlantean epoch, various human types would have arisen consecutively. In a sense, human beings would have developed in such a way that there would have been human beings in the fifth Atlantean epoch, in whose body shape one form of etheric body would have acted particularly strongly, in the sixth Atlantean epoch, the second of the forms described, and so on up to the fourth post-Atlantean epoch, the Greco-Latin. That was actually the disposition. Lucifer and Ahriman resisted that. They did not want it to happen like that. It was the continuing developmental trend in the regular progress of human development. Lucifer and Ahriman resisted it. They caused these developments to be shifted, so that, whereas the actual development had been organized such that essentially one form of human being should have appeared in the fifth Atlantean epoch, and this should then have gradually been transformed into another form of human being, Lucifer and Ahriman preserved the form of the fifth Atlantean epoch into the sixth, and again from the sixth Atlantean epoch into the seventh, and in turn across the flood of Atlantis. So that actually something whose form should have passed away was retained. And instead of the differences between the races having developed consecutively, as should have happened, the old forms of race were retained, remained stationary, and the new ones inserted themselves, as it were, so that they developed alongside one another instead of consecutively, as was actually intended. And that is how it has come about that such physically different races inhabit the earth, and inhabit it into our time, whereas the development should have taken place as I described it. We can indeed see everywhere, when we look at what arises from the development of the etheric body, how Lucifer and Ahriman play their role in the earthly development of humanity everywhere. Now we have to ask ourselves, how was that actually intended in the world context, that human beings should develop consecutively in this way up to the Greco-Latin period? After all, we know in turn that roughly at the time which I have described as the Atlantean period, souls gradually, that is, starting with the fifth Atlantean period, descended from the planets to which they had ascended. Remember from my title Occult Science how it is set out there that the souls ascended and then descended again, that from the time when they descended, life on earth really started as an incarnated life. We can thus see that the human eyes, capital, the actual individualities, would then have passed through these various forms in the consecutive periods. Our eyes would have passed through one human form in the fifth Atlantean period, would have passed through a different human form in the sixth one, through another one in the seventh, through another one again in the first post-Atlantean period, and so on. We would have gradually completed these consecutive human types, human shapes. And so it was actually planned that human beings would have completed in this way what was necessary to train the human individuality, what was necessary as a passage through various etheric shapes, which then would have had different effects on the physical shape, that all those stages would have been passed through. A human type could have appeared on earth, which was the result of seven consecutive developmental periods, which each would have added something to completeness. And it would have happened in the fifth post-Atlantean epoch that an harmonious human type was intended to exist across the whole earth. Lucifer and Ahriman thwarted that. The only thing that was possible was that the Greeks dreamt of an ideal, extra-human type of form, which they sought to shape in various ways, in the Apollo way, the Zeus way, the Athena way, and so on. They did not encompass it completely, because it did not exist in reality. But we can feel, if we have a sense for Greek sculpture, how Greek culture dreamt of what was to arise as a harmonious, perfect human type. That it did not happen in this way was prevented by Lucifer and Ahriman, in that they preserved the forms of race once they had been created, so that a consecutive development turned into a parallel one. Thus human development in the fourth post-Atlantean epoch, the Greco-Latin period, faced the fact that through the influence of Lucifer and Ahriman it could not be achieved what had actually been intended for the earth in relation to the outer form by the gods whose impulses determined the earth. The spirits from the hierarchy of form had intended that through the collaboration of the various hierarchies of form, the perfect human type, in terms of physical shape, could really have arisen. Thus the Greeks could only dream of it, and bring it to expression in their art. There is something deeply moving when, in the course of spiritual scientific research, we reach the point at which we say, why was it that the Greeks created such perfection in sculpture? Because they captured, through what I might describe as a divine spiritual tool, the disappointment which Lucifer and Ahriman had prepared for the good divine spiritual beings who wanted to achieve something different with humanity than was then able to arise. That which could have arisen through the good divine spiritual beings that lay in the soul of the Greeks, and that is what they at least wanted to put into form after it could not arise in outer reality. Let me read that again. That which could have arisen through the good divine spiritual beings, that lay in the soul of the Greeks, and that is what they at least wanted to put into form after it could not arise in outer reality. It has a powerful and harrowing effect when we look at these inner forces of human development. Forces which occur here in artistic forms, which want to capture what could not be achieved in outer reality. We look at Greek art in quite a different light in this context, which in that age developed in such a unique form and will never be repeated. But the time has also come in which humanity had reached a crisis point through the influence of Lucifer and Ahriman. Lucifer and Ahriman had managed to achieve that the races assumed life not living one after the other, but alongside one another. But at the same time, all those forces were paralyzed, which the forming spirits, the spirits of form, would have originally poured into the development of humanity on earth. They could not do anything more than fertilize the Greek imagination in such a way as I have explained. The spirits of form faced the necessity, as it were, to say to themselves, shall the human race now develop in such a way that human beings will never, ever converge in earth development? Because that is what would have had to happen. If earth development had simply continued from the fourth period, the Greco-Latin time, it would have fallen apart into a sevenfold division caused by Luciferic and Ahrimanic forces, into seven groups of human beings on earth which would have split apart because they were as different as the various animal groups which have split apart. Just as the individual animal groups do not understand one another, but see each other as separate beings, in the same way, the view would have had to develop toward the end of the fourth cultural epoch, the Greco-Latin period, and from the fifth epoch onward in which we live. We would still be in the middle of it. It would not yet have fully reached completion, what actually in this context means the greatest imperfection, but it would have actually happened on earth. that seven groups of human beings would gradually have formed on earth who would have looked at one another as completely separate beings. The term human being for all human beings on earth would not have been right, but there would have been seven designations for seven different groups of beings on earth, not a homogeneous designation for human beings across the earth. What happened was this, that in the fourth post-Atlantean epoch, the Greco-Latin period, measures were taken in the cosmos so that the development which threatened to occur could not happen, so that the moment would not occur in the future, once the earth has reached the goal of its development, in which there were seven groups of beings living on earth with different names, like the different animal species are given different names, who do not see themselves as equal, and who would at most have inherited some kind of imitation of Greek forms, such as the figure of Zeus, the figure of Apollo, which would have been perceived as something alien, as something that could never have existed on earth. Something had to be done to prevent that happening. But physical development had already progressed too far for anything to be changed in it. So measures had to be taken with regard to the etheric body of the human being. An impulse had to enter the etheric body, which countered the division of humanity on earth into seven groups. And the impulse which was intended in the cosmic plan to counter such a splintering of humanity, this impulse which was intended to ensure that the term human being retained a real meaning across the whole earth, and would grow in meaning, this impulse is, and here we reach a new aspect of this matter, the mystery of Golgotha. The first attempt, as it were, which had been made with humanity on earth before the Luciferic and Ahrimanic impulse had intervened in earth development, was to create unity across the earth in humanity. This attempt by the spirits of form failed. It failed because of the influence of Lucifer and Ahriman. But it was not allowed to fail in its totality. Something had to be provided for which, in turn, could paralyze what Ahriman and Lucifer brought about. It was no longer possible to have such an effect on the physical body as was originally intended, but the etheric body was to be affected. And that happened in that the divine spiritual being of whom we have talked so often, the Christ being, united with the human form at the time of human development, in which the possibility still existed to keep a hold of the archetype of humanity. What period is that in human development? All the forces which counter the originally identical shape of the physical body are active in the human being such that they can work in the first 7 years, in which the physical body is primarily in a soft stage of development. At that time, they do not let it become identical, but vary it from inside out. They can also still do so in the second septennium until puberty. They can even still do so in the third and fourth 7 years during the development of the astral body and the sentient soul. But when we get to the middle of the intellectual or mind-soul, that component of human development, which is particularly developed in the fourth post-Atlantean, the Greco-Latin period, that is when the extraterrestrial forces can least approach the human being. And they do so with the greatest difficulty in the middle, that is, in the period of the human being which lies between the ages of 28 and 35. And there, in turn, in the middle. If we add 2 years beforehand and leave away 2 years afterward, we have the period from the age of 30 to 33. Afterward, we get to a time in which the extraterrestrial forces have a greater influence once again. Indeed, then human beings have become such that extraterrestrial forces have the greatest influence on them. But now, from the age of 30 to 33, it is the case to the greatest extent that only earth forces continue to act on human beings. And in this period, in these 3 years, even if the developmental differences from younger years were retained and supplemented by what comes in later years, if the only thing which acted on human beings was what acts on them in the period from the age of 30 to 33, human beings would have much greater similarity on earth. Christ now had to use these 3 specific years, they are 3 particularly separated years, in order to enter into community with the earth forces in human beings, in which the earthly in human beings has been retained to the greatest extent. That was prepared through the 2 bodies of Jesus, as we have discussed. Until the age of 30, the Christ body, and then from the age of 30 to 33, Christ took possession of that body. In the location where the earth forces were most strongly at work, and where deformation was able to occur, that is where there was no longer any development. That is where there was no longer any development. That is where physical death occurred. So the Christ Son being entered the sphere of the earth in reality, and then united with the whole of the etheric body of the earth, in the way I have often described, entered the aura of the earth, where he now continues to work. But for human beings, it has to work in such a way that they increasingly understand that in Christ they were sent that divine spirit to earth, through whom what was separated through the opposition of Lucifer and Ahriman against the original impulses of humanity, what was split up, was reversed again from the inside out. The good spiritual beings worked together with Lucifer and Ahriman in the outer nature of human beings. But the thing which was prescribed to humans from the physical beginning of the earth as something they should have externally, equality across the whole earth, the possibility of the name of human across the whole earth, that was now to be brought by the Christ Spirit from out of the innermost nature of human beings. That was one of the many layered meanings of the mystery of Golgotha, that something was given to the earth with the Christ Spirit, which, if understood in the right way, once again makes the name of human possible across the whole of earth humanity. When the true content of Christianity, which has already partly been revealed through Christianity, which those will discover who search in the spiritual world with regard to Christ, what the latter continuously reveals in accordance with his words, quote, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," close quote, when it gradually emerges further, what humanity can be told in the name of Christ from the inside out, then what Lucifer and Ahriman have managed to do in humanity on earth will gradually be balanced out. We can nevertheless ask, is there any sense in this detour having been made? And this, let me say, childish question is very frequently thrown up by people who want to be cleverer than the cosmic wisdom. And there are many people who want to be that. Particularly those people who want to be cleverer than the cosmic wisdom say, if we are to believe in powerful divine beings, could they not have excluded the Luciferic and Ahrimanic influence from the beginning of earth development, so that their work was not spoiled? That is certainly human wisdom, but in the sense of Paul's, quote, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God," close quote, it is certainly human wisdom. We simply have to look at things in our considerations in the way that we do. In that context, the things which arise through the adversary, which arise from the other side through the opposition of Lucifer and Ahriman, do not, of course, appear as something absolutely evil. For let us also consider the other side of the matter. Imagine that the original divine cosmic plan for the earth had been fulfilled, the Greco-Latin period would have approached in the proper way, as I indicated, and that beautiful, harmonious human type of which the Greeks dreamt would not only have been created by Greek sculptors, but would have walked among people and would have spread further and further across the earth. All other human forms would gradually have disappeared, and only that which lived in the disposition of the Apollo type, the Zeus type, the Diana type, the Athena type, would have walked the earth, and would have called itself human, because it would have recognized itself in its outer perceptions. Perception. The name of human would have been possible, and the feeling of the equality of all human beings would also have become possible. We might say that a human culture in Greek beauty would gradually have spread across the earth, and in our time we would have seen human beings tending increasingly to an ever closer approximation of this Greek beautiful human type, which would have achieved its fullness when the earth reached its goal in the 7th post-Atlantean epoch, and progressed to another stage of existence. But human beings would have come to such human community with a lack of freedom. That has to be understood. Human beings would have been forced to see themselves across the whole earth as the same being. Everything that has come among human beings, so that they see themselves as unequal, that they do not regard one another as being like themselves, that they do not love the other like themselves, all that has become possible because such a shape did not come about. Perhaps you can feel that if it had really happened that human beings became like one another externally, as should have been the case, in line with the original divine spiritual forces, without the Luciferic and Ahrimanic influence, the feeling would also have developed that one had to love one's neighbor like oneself. It would not have been possible to do anything else. Any other feeling would have been nonsensical, a nonsensical feeling, a nonsensical sentiment. But that element which was not allowed to come from outside, because it would have turned human beings into someone who loved automatically, into people who, although they loved the other like themselves, would not have known which power drove that love, that element which would have come in unfreedom, in fact turned into freedom because the adversary was allowed. The permission of such opposition is therefore part of the original wise plan. We can even say, if we go further back in earth development, the opposition to the regularly progressing divine spiritual forces is in fact created, so that this opposition can then be there and induce freedom. Here we have reached a point at which we have to appreciate that concepts have to change as soon as we rise from physical considerations to higher considerations. Some of you might be aware that in philosophy we talk about antinomies or antinomies, that Kant even showed that it is equally possible to prove that, quote, the world is limited in space, close quote, and, quote, the world is unlimited in space, quote, the world has a beginning in time, close quote, and, quote, the world has no beginning in time, close quote. The one, like the other, can be rigorously proven. Why? Because logic stops when we reach those things which can no longer be physically grasped. We finally have to learn to recognize that human physical logic stops not only with the things which philosophers have come to know, but that it stops altogether when we take a look at forms of existence other than physical ones. We cannot stand there and look at the opposition of Lucifer and Ahriman in the way that we look at the opposition of a good and bad person on earth. The error consists of constantly transferring the earthly aspect into the transcendental one. Most people imagine Lucifer and Ahriman to be evil beings, only much enhanced, infinitely enhanced. But that is not what this is about. We have to understand that certain nuances of physical feelings, which we associate with concepts, lose their meaning when we get beyond the earthly. So we cannot say that on the one side here we have the good gods, on the other side we have the evil gods, Lucifer and Ahriman, and then demand that judgment should be held in the cosmos. In that case, a particularly highly qualified cosmic lawyer would have to seat himself on the cosmic bench and lock up Lucifer and Ahriman once and for all. They should actually be locked up so that only the good gods can influence Earth. True, it might make sense in earthly life that someone is locked up. In the cosmos, that would not make any sense, because such terms lose their meaning there. The good gods once created that opposition themselves, albeit in a previous time, so that in this way they could deploy their full strength for the course of development I have outlined. The Luciferic and Ahrimanic element was incorporated so that freedom could arise, so that human beings could not come to an unfree love through their outer shape, so that human beings would come to understand the name of human in a united way across the earth from the inside out. They first allowed human beings to, let me say, splinter through the opposition, so that once their human bodies had splintered, they could return to unity in the spirit, in Christ. And that is also one of the meanings of the mystery of Golgotha: the conquest of the unity of human beings from inside out. People are becoming more and more different in respect of their outside, and that will cause not unity, but difference across the earth. That will cause human beings to have to use all the greater strength from inside to achieve unity. There will always be setbacks with regard to the unity of human beings across the whole earth. We see such setbacks occurring. What was actually intended for an earlier epoch is retained in a later one. That which was destined to cause diversity in a specific group stands in parallel. Human beings form various groups, and while they conquer their unity across the earth through the Christ name, through the Christ impulse, the variety remains as a throwback, and will always remain, in that human beings will only gradually be able to conquer their unity for themselves, and in the meantime, the individual groups of human beings will fight one another to the death with regard to all outer life. Throwbacks exist from earlier times, which basically run counter to the Christ impulse and not with the Christ impulse. We nevertheless come to understand a very profound meaning of the Christ impulse. We can say from true knowledge, Christ is the Savior of humanity that stops it from splintering into groups. That this cannot yet be fully recognized by all of humanity is due to the old things having been preserved in parallel. When we see today how little one of the nerve centers, the community of life in the Christ impulse, is understood by humanity, then this is connected with the fact that such an understanding has to come from the innermost nature of the human being. Footnote, this should probably read, editor's note, quote, when we see today how little one of the nerve centers of the Christ impulse, the community of life in the Christ impulse, is understood by humanity. End of footnote. We have to be clear about the way that in the almost 2,000 years that the Christ impulse has worked in the earth's aura, this Christ impulse has worked without being understood, because it can only be fully understood, as we have often emphasized, through what spiritual science opens up for us. Only when a number of people increasingly understand, think, and feel what has entered human earth development in this fourth post-Atlantean epoch will an understanding of that grow. We cannot yet demand it in full from present humanity. Because consider how few people today are inclined to recognize that this fourth post-Atlantean epoch, the Greco-Latin period, has such a fundamental, such a great significance in the whole of human development. Consider how few people today are inclined to recognize such a post-Atlantean period at all, and to put the Greco-Latin element at its center. That requires one to have assimilated the ideas of spiritual science. Otherwise, it is impossible to understand. In other words, we cannot understand what is happening in respect of the development of humanity if these concepts have not been assimilated. Then it is necessary to understand the full meaning of the spirits of form. How these spirits of form wanted to develop a homogeneous human race, which they, however, wanted to develop in 7 consecutive stages. And how this homogeneous human race was splintered through Lucifer, Ahriman, and how the Christ impulse enlivened from the inside that power which, despite all outward differences, wants to spread the homogeneous human name meaningfully across the whole earth until the end of the earth period. Understanding how Christ stands in between Lucifer and Ahriman, what his meaning is with regard to Lucifer and Ahriman, that is the main task of the immediate future. That is why what we call Lucifer and Ahriman will have to keep recurring in human consideration, and the Christ impulse as battling them, as that which saves the earth from the one-sided Luciferic Ahrimanic impulse. That will have to be represented in this form with increasing frequency. That is why the representative human being is being placed in the most prominent location in our Dornach building. His disposition and how he is to be newly created from inside out through Christ, and the Luciferic Ahrimanic aspect surrounding him. That will be the importance specifically of this statue at the center of our building in Dornach. When we look at this central figure, we can say, yes, that is what the good gods wanted. It was initially splintered. Lucifer and Ahriman appear. But the Christ impulse appears in victory, restoring from the inside out, from the inside of human beings outward, what was originally predisposed from the outside, thus returning their freedom. That which is to be achieved in terms of an understanding of human development will be set before humanity through our building and what it contains. What is most necessary for humanity in the immediate future, that is the purpose of this building, so that we can hear and see from human development what is most necessary in the immediate future, and that this is placed there. It is true that many objections can be made. Such objections have already been made. When we look at the pictures, the works of sculpture in our building, several people have said, a real work of art is only one which everyone can understand directly when they look at it, which does not first require an explanation. When people go in there, they first have to have things theoretically explained to them. That is what people normally say. If people would only think just a little bit, imagine for a minute a person who is completely Turkish and does not understand anything other than what it says in the Quran, who has never heard anything about Christ other than that he has to fight Christianity. Imagine such a real Turk. I don't even want to say a Chinese, but a Turk, and take him to see the Sistine Madonna and simply present it without any explanation. Imagine that. Of course, someone can only understand a work of art who lives in the whole spiritual stream out of which the artwork has been created. Thus, our ideal form with Ahriman and Lucifer will only be understood by those who are within this stream. But that is something which the artworks of all periods have in common, that they are only comprehensible for those who are within that spiritual stream. They can only be true works of art within that spiritual stream, but the spiritual direction has to be within them. Just as someone who understands the Sistine Madonna, or let us say the Transfiguration of Christ by Raphael, has to know something about the spiritual stream from which these pictures have arisen, in the same way, the person who has looked at something in our building, of course, has to have in their soul, their heart, that which belongs to our spiritual stream. But once that is in the soul, the work of art has to speak for itself. Then no one needs to write anything further on it in explanation, a name or something like that. So a person may look at one of our glass windows and see a coffin at the bottom with a dead person in it, and further up see, next to a winding path, something he recognizes as a winding path, an old man, for example, a youth, a virgin, and a child. If he has assimilated our spiritual stream, then he will see that this is the review. Once we have passed through the portal of death, we see our earth life in review. We have to know that, of course. But then the picture will work through what it contains, just like the Sistine Madonna works on the person who knows the story of Christ, through what is contained in the picture. But it will not work on the Turk. Equally, what appears in our building cannot work on those who have not assimilated this spiritual stream. We have to look at these things in the right way. That is what I wanted to make clear, that Christ is the Spirit from the cosmos, in the course of earth development, who brought in a spiritual way what had to be predisposed in the outer shape, but which could not be completed in this outer formal way, because otherwise human beings would have become robots of love and human equality. It is a basic law in the physical plane that everything has to work through opposites, through polarities. It was not possible, as childlike human wisdom might say, for the divine to send down Christ right at the start of earth development, because then this contrast of outer splintering and inner collection would never have arisen. But humanity has to live under this contrast, this polarity. Then we approach Christ with the right feelings, so that he can increasingly become the being who fills the innermost recesses of our own I, capital, if we recognize him as the Savior of humanity on earth from dispersion. Everywhere where we are really able to comprehend this unification of humanity across the earth through Christ, there is Christianity. It will matter little in the future whether that which the Christ is will still be called Christ. But much will depend on seeking Christ as the unifier of the whole of humanity on a spiritual path, and that we come to terms with the thought that the outer multiplicity will keep growing in the world. But we will also have to come to terms with the fact that many setbacks against such a spiritual grasp of the Christ impulse will still come. That which happened in parallel instead of consecutively will still unfold its forces on earth for a very long time. We'll fight against a spiritual grasp of human equality across the earth. That will still produce many, many terrible storms. And the purpose of most of these storms is to maintain the Luciferic Ahrimanic battle against the Christ impulse. And it will be one of the greatest, most beautiful, most important achievements, if in our time already we can be at least a small group of people who have an understanding of this unification idea for all humanity, an understanding that Luciferic Ahrimanic residues on earth seek to achieve particular things in individual groups of people to the exclusion of other groups. It is really difficult to say anything final about these things today already. A last word spoken about these things would tend to have a shock effect, human hearts being what they are, and would provoke resistance, maybe even hate and abuse, rather than working in the spirit of the Christ impulse. But as much as can be said about this principle in the Christ impulse, that humanity will be saved from physical dispersion through spiritual unification, that must be said, because that has to take effect to an ever greater degree within the development of humanity. We must be able to face the multiplication of human nature with calmness and courage, because we know we can carry a word into all the human differences, which is not just a word of speech, but a word of strength. Groups which fight one another may arise on earth. We may belong to one or another of these groups. But we know we can carry something into each of these groups which can say, not I, but Christ in me. And that which is Christ in me, that does not lead to groups forming. That enables the glory of the name of humanity to spread in reality across the whole earth. That is one of the practical sides, one of the moral, ethical sides of our spiritual scientific endeavors. That the following can come to life through the understanding of our spiritual science. No matter into which of the fighting groups of human beings we carry our I, capital, we carry the strength into these fighting groups of human beings, which arises from the words, not I, but Christ in me. In that way we introduce something which belongs to the whole of humanity, not one single group. And that is the thing which alone can lead to the true spiritual understanding of Christianity. Great spiritual cosmic paths always come to expression in that ultimately they are framed in simple words. Let us see then, in what simple words, basically, the sum total of almost 2,000 years of Christianity, as it has penetrated the world, can be spoken. But these simple words are only achieved on the basis of broad developments. They were not there immediately, these simple words in which Christianity can be framed. They first had to be achieved. Well, we can be very clear about one thing. We belong to those who are working on the task that in the future very, very simple words will have to be found which summarize in an incredibly primitive way the truths which we have to develop and disseminate today. But without this development, what is simple would never be able to arrive. We can be certain of one thing. Even if we are not yet in a position today to be able to form the words in some language which summarize our spiritual scientific endeavors on, let us say, a quarter of a page, so that they can illuminate all human spiritual striving, as can really happen in Christianity. In Christianity, as it arose 2,000 years ago, there will nevertheless be something in these simple formulations of what I tried to indicate to you today, something that might turn our spiritual gaze toward the development of humanity, toward the importance of the Greco-Latin period, toward the occurrence of the mystery of Golgotha in this period, toward the opposition, the polarity of Christ and Lucifer Ahriman. That which can be recognized in all of these things will be compressed into a few words, which will then act on future humanity in the same way as, for example, when we say, quote, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, close quote. Just as something is contained in these words, which had to be achieved in a long development, in the same way these things will be summarized later in simple words, then they will be obvious to people. But our spiritual work is necessary to that end, because the simple things in the spiritual development of humanity only arise if people have decided to familiarize themselves with the details over a longer period of time. That is what we are called upon to do, to be involved in this development, which will then lead to something appearing before humanity in simple, lucid clarity, which cannot yet be expressed today, because we do not yet have the words and the languages for it, but which has to be what our spiritual science is moving toward. If you feel part of such a spiritual stream, and are happy to be in such a spiritual stream because you recognize it as being a necessity within the development of humanity, then you are in this spiritual movement with the right attitude. You are part of this spiritual movement in such a way that you look at the greatest thing toward which this spiritual movement is moving in the right way, out of an ever better understanding of the opposition between Christ and Lucifer Ahriman, and the necessity of this opposition. That is what I wanted to set before your souls today. After all, it is connected with the question as to the meaning of the whole of our earth development. It is the case, after all, that when spirits from other planets look down at the earth and ask, quote, "What is the meaning of earth development?" close quote, they will recognize the meaning if they learn something about the mystery of Golgotha. Because everything that happens in the course of earth development only acquires its meaning through the mystery of Golgotha, that rays out into cosmic space and gives meaning, central meaning, to everything else that rays out from the earth. The end of Lecture 11.